We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Get ready to tap into the minds of the founding fathers of SEO. Rocket to the next generation of search engine optimization 3.0 with traffic that will put your website into a head-on collision. Decades of combined SEO expertise give their take on the world of SEO. Now, here are the princes of PageRank, the heroes of HTML, the sultans of search, the SEO rock stars.
Okay, folks, SEO Rockstars is back for another season, and this is Frank Watson, also known as Ozzy Webmaster, from days, if you remember that, you're most probably pushing being a senior. I have, very luckily, the CEO and founder of Spyfu and the newly launched Nacho Analytics that seems to be getting talked about all over the web right now. Mike, how are we doing?
Great. Thanks for having me, Frank. Really appreciate you coming on your show.
All right. Not a problem. Obviously we've known each other for a while, but you provide, SpyFu's been a great product for a lot of years that I've personally used a lot because I do a lot of paid search. And, you also added in the SEO elements on that. And now Nacho Analytics has been out for a while. How did you actually get started with SpyFu way back? Let's do a little history session.
Oh yeah, let's go back really far. Because it's funny, you go into a room, I remember back in the day when I would go on stage and, we were relatively new. Now SpyFu's been around longer than most people's careers, right? It's been around for 13 years. Since 2006. So prior to launching SpyFu, I had another software company and I was just getting into Google AdWords. But here's the thing with that company is it was all of my companies are bootstrapped. And in this case, I had $3,000 in the bank. And I had, if I didn't get my advertising or my marketing right, basically I had to go back to work, right? So... So there's a lot on the line, there's skin in the game. I wanted to see, whether or not any of my competitors were advertising on any keywords that I hadn't thought of. Because it turns out that, I found a couple. I was kind of a nerd, and the product that I was selling would take data off the internet and put into a spreadsheet. And the way that I would describe it was web data extraction. But it turns out that most people actually search phrase was web scraping. And for whatever reason, man, that never occurred to me. So I wanted to see if there was anything else that I hadn't thought of, because obviously I had this, weakness of being super technical, I guess. and so I built this thing that would basically make a reverse phone directory of Google, if you will. And that was kind of how I referred to it back then.
I remember those days.
Yeah. And, So you could type in any website and see every keyword that they buy and every keyword that they rank on. And I released it as a little side project. It took me about 5 days to put the thing together. And I released it as GoogSpy. And then I did a press release because we didn't have social media in that day, right?
I mean, exactly. Yeah, Facebook didn't come around till, well, 2005, but then 2008 for when they opened it up to the public. Yeah, you know, and MySpace really most probably wasn't the best place to try and push anything out like that. Yeah,
and quite that's honestly, the thing. Blogs weren't even.
Sorry. Yeah, exactly.
So I can, you know,
I mean, we've been doing this between the two of us. We've been doing this for 15, 20 years or more. And it's interesting because, you know, like you, I go to conferences and things like that. And the people you run into, like my daughter, who's, you know, 27, is, you know, does social media marketing. She worked for Campbell's. They don't understand that, you know, how it was way back then. And you know, those tools, you know, that they take, your tools and other tools that are out there that they take for granted, weren't around. And, you know, it was people like yourself that provided these initial things that really gave a lot of help. You know, being able to see what your competitors were using, you know, what keywords your competitors were using, and then see their ads. So you got an idea of what, you know, any new client, if you're an agency or, you know, a consultant, you could have a look at the competitors and get a feel for what was being done and, you know, the type of spends that were involved. Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that anyone listening to the podcast is that has done paid search has played with Spyfer. I mean, it's that well known. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. And before there was Spyfu, there was no SEMrush. There's no Ahrefs. None of these, there's a variety, maybe a dozen tools now that you can use, but we sort of created that.
To me, you were the first, you know, I mean, apart, like you said, you could literally go in and you had to do the searches or create a program that would do the searches and pull the advertising ones up, that type of thing. It was really a lot of commitment of man hours to be able to do any sort of research on competitors and specific keywords and, you know, what was available, that type of thing. And Google didn't have a keyword planner. They didn't have a keyword suggest tool, all those things that they later added that came long after your product was out there, which, you know, I mean, it's how many, like ballpark, how many people have, you know, come and gone, or you know, existing clients? I mean, it must be in the hundreds of thousands by now.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I know people in Australia and Asia that use the tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. I don't know exactly how many customers we've had, but it's definitely in the hundreds of thousands. I mean, we have hundreds of thousands of customers that use the free product every month. You know, a lot of Spyfu is free, and we kind of like, you know, really, like, the reason that I, like, kind of exist, you know, I feel like, is to empower, you know, the entrepreneur, sort of the bootstrap marketer, like, you know, the people that are grinding and trying to make their way, you know, because that's what I was doing when I built it, right? So I kind of identify with that. I had $3,000 in the bank, you know, so like the decision
yeah.
was valuable. And you know, that industry, you know, the industry that sprang up around us, that was basically, you know, that represents us and all these other dozen competitors, is like $100 million a year industry now.
If not more. I actually did the Haystack was a paid search sort of platform that had, it wasn't a research tool. It was more like a, set up specifically for the automotive space, and I did the due diligence for Auto Trader to buy it, and just that little, and it was a spreadsheet that, you know, integrated with Python, that they bought for $26 million. Yeah. So I mean, anything, and because of the fact that, you know, having those tools and being able to use something, and the beauty of yours is, and I tell people, you know, whether it's on social media, and it used to be over search engine watch forums, you know, when they ask, you know, how do I find out about potential budget and things like that, you know, you offer that spy foo with the ability to do some initial research and get some value. And then the smart play is take the money that you, you know, that the insights have given you to a profit, and put it back in and get a little deeper next time.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the conversion number, you know, because you'll have people like the, you know, the guy with the Google My Business page that wants to do a little bit of PPC for his particular neighborhood. And maybe that isn't, you know, the level, but they can come in and get, you know, here's a bunch of keywords. Here's, there's enough information to get someone at that little small business level started, and then they can determine what they want to do after that. But that's very generous, because a lot of other services out there are, you know, you get a couple of days here, play with it fast, and after that.
Yeah, there's this pattern in the industry, and the pattern in the industry is to put up free walls, basically, you know, make it so that you have literally nothing for free, and then to increase the price. And so, like our average, like the average starting price among our competitors is probably in the, you know, $100, $150 plus. And then there's limits, there's a whole bunch of limits. You know, how many keywords, how many searches can you do a day? You know, it's like 100, you know, like that's 100 searches a day isn't very much. And you know, so I've like we used to have our price at like $79, and everybody kind of clustered around us, right? Cause you know, they just wanted to, you know, they didn't know where to price it. So they priced it right around us, or like $10 less. And over time, you know, I sort of saw this thing where you just have to like charge people more. But I figured out that I could make about 98% as much money if I just cut my price in half, right? Like, I'm not actually making more money by cutting my price in half, but I'm bringing value.
But you're maintaining, you're giving value. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're giving value to the people, and they stay longer.
That's why we're around, right? You know, like I want to make as many people, create as much value in the world as I possibly can, and then, you know, die.
Mate, I'm blown away by that product. I mean, how do you get the information? It's not proprietary, but yeah, that's, I think that's the question I hear a lot of people ask. Wow. And then how do they do it?
Yeah. How is it not illegal? You know, it's funny because, okay, well, let me first just tell you like real quick what Nacho is. Basically, you can see other people's analytics, and what you're seeing, what we deliver, is actually a Google Analytics account. Now, obviously, and this is funny because it kind of goes back to the beginning of SpyFu. You know, the first question we get is, you know, is this illegal, or, you know, is this even legal, right? We're not, just like I said with SpyFu back in the day, we're not hacking into anyone's AdWords account, you know, because that's the first question people ask. In this case, we're like not hacking into anyone's Google Analytics account. It's not how it works. Basically, I'm assuming that everybody on this show has probably been around for a while or whatever. if you're following our old school references, here's how this works. It's like what we're doing. We didn't invent the data collection method, right? We're basically taking clickstream data, similar to the way that like SimilarWeb works, or Compete, or Alexa, going back 20 years, and we're taking that data, and we're, you know, obviously our data. The trick to this is getting a really diverse panel, like making sure that you're not like you know, doing the actual Alexa thing where it's like the Alexa toolbar, which is got a huge skew towards marketers. We just get a whole bunch, you know, like maybe hundreds of different data sources. And that's kind of how SimilarWeb works. And then we pump that into Google Analytics. And so the value here is that you can see, you know, people's actual conversions. You can see which products sell, what their conversion rate is. You can see their entire, you know, acquisition channel, you know, how many, you know, what percent of their revenue comes from their email marketing, from their paid, their pay-per-click, from their SEO, right? You can see not just the top level metrics, how much traffic they get, but actually drill in as deep as you could go with your own Google Analytics account. You can drill in and see those low level sort of conversion metrics. And that's where the power is super crazy. Some of the things that we've been able to figure out are just like, it constantly blows my mind. And then the other thing is that you have the full power of like the Google Analytics ecosystem. So you have access to their APIs, but then you can build like these dashboards in Google Data Studio.
Yeah, I love Data Studio. It's so amazing to be able to create dashboards and have numbers updated constantly, et cetera, without having to dig like in the old days when we were pulling massive spreadsheets.
Mm-hmm. And you can put your stuff side by side against your competitors, right? So you can pull in your Google Analytics account and put it next to your competitors, or, you know, your, I always try to counsel people that like your competitors that you think of as the one that's most direct isn't necessarily the one that you want to like, emulate, you know, you don't.
Analyze and see where you can go. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, looking at it in terms of, you know, here's possibly two or three competitors that you're pretty close to as far as, you know, work and this, that, and the other. I always go for someone that's doing two or three times better than I am to be able to get some insights to grow my business.
Well, I'll give you an example. When we were putting together Nacho, when we were building Nacho Analytics, we wanted to have a refer a friend program, you know? And and so we obviously didn't have like a direct competitor to, or even if we did have direct competitor there, how good is the refer a friend program in the grand scheme of things? So what I did is I started Googling, you know, what's the best refer a friend program in the world? And you get like these lists of like, you know, 70 or something websites. So I looked at like maybe the top 15. And it turns out that most people think that the best refer a friend program in the world is Dropbox's. And the reason for that is that Sean Ellis, the guy that invented the word growth hacking, was the CMO at Dropbox when he created the refer a friend program. So it's kind of like in a lot of his slides and in his examples in books. And it's a pretty good refer a friend program, but the best in the world is actually Airbnb's. And Airbnb drives 8,000 signups per day through their refer a friend program. And so we basically were able to reverse engineer that entire program. You know, how do they get people to use it? You know, what are the methods that they use? Do they share them socially, or do they use the email thing, or, you know, do they actually just copy and paste the link? How does that actually work? And then what's the method that they use to get people to, to refer a friend initially in the first place? And so we figured out that none of the social referrals, none of the sort of import your Gmail contacts, none of that sort of semi creepy stuff that clutters the page, none of that. Well, that only drives 96% of all of the referral signups happen because of a single email, the single email option, or the copy and paste the link. Then the other thing that we learned was that the way that Airbnb gets people to use their refer a friend program is pretty straightforward. They just put a secondary call to action in every single one of their emails. So even their transactional emails have a secondary CTA. It's $40 when you refer a friend or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that, just that insight, you know, to be able to filter out, okay, we don't want to, and it makes, once, a lot of the times the answers that you get become obvious. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, that makes a lot of sense, because, you know, the cut and paste, you're sending that to actual people you know. You know, it's like, I'm taking the time to, you know, you're not mass sending those cut and paste out. You're grabbing it because you're referring a particular friend, whether you're doing it, you know, in an email to them, or you're doing it in a chat in Facebook, you know, but it's one-on-one. And that's how, you know, that's how most of social sharing and successful social stuff works. But a lot of people, you know, create these massive, automatic send all this stuff out and spend time and money to do it and wonder why it's not giving them the valued return.
Yeah, the best ideas tend to be pretty obvious after the or they seem they it's yeah. like oh yeah well, that's super obvious. But I mean, one of the things there is that obviously Airbnb isn't a competitor of Nacho Analytics in any way, right? We just looked at the best in the world, the world class, example, and used what we could from them, and that's kind of the secret there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. You like you had said earlier, you don't necessarily need to use Nacho to look at people immediately around you. If you're a restaurant and you want to learn some things about to become a lot more successful, maybe you look at it. You're in middle America. Maybe look at the five top successful restaurants in New York or Michelin star restaurants and what they've done, and see where their traffic comes from and whether or not they're offering recipes of their really popular dishes. Mm-hmm. All of that sort of thing.
You can also load in like Yelp, or OpenTable.
Yeah, there you go.
This is the power of loading in a platform is just crazy. Like the things that you can see and learn, it's insane. I mean, we obviously have loaded in Amazon and
that must have
Salesforce
burnt up a hell of a lot of bandwidth and taken a little while.
Anybody can do it. It's basically included with any account.
But I mean, just what I'm saying is just.
Bucks.
Yeah, that's. Being able to look at that, and I tell a lot of my people when they're looking for strategic paid search stuff, is to look at the Amazon. If you've got products, is to put your product in and have a look at the Amazon Suggest tool.
Yeah,
which so few people use. Mm-hmm. Now, it's the same sort of thing.
Don't forget, you can always find us at Facebook, SEO Rockstars, as well as Twitter, SEO Rockstars, and you can favorite us on iHeartRadio and iTunes.
Moss Pauly is part of Warrior Forum. He and his crew bought the forum in 2014. It's actually been around, interestingly, since 1997. And Moss is the current CEO. Moss, how are things in Australia? I miss home.
Oh, look, they're wonderful down here at the moment. It's just coming into summer, so I can't complain too much. And it's a pleasure to be here, guys.
Moss, thank you so much for joining us. When I type in marketing forum into Google here, in Google.com, I see you guys showing right up at the top there. Of course, there's some Google Plus site showing up in my personalized results, but I'm really excited about our conversation. We're going to get into in the latter two segments of this show and really talk about SEO, because that's what we're talking about here on SEO Rockstars. However, Frank and I both have a very soft spot in our heart for forums. As Frank said, you guys are a big deal. Back in the mid, in the late 90s, in the mid 2000s, I would say participation in the Search Engine Watch forums back then when it was headed up by Danny Sullivan. And Frank and I actually are pretty much rock stars in that forum. And Frank stayed on like kicking and clawing until the bitter end when it seemed like we ended up getting, kind of a bad set of apples in there, some bad shrimp, whatever you want to call it. But I'm wondering, as a starting point, tell me how you've been able to, in the 2 years that you've been with the Warrior Forum in the leadership capacity, what you've done to help make sure that the community continues to grow and it stays valuable, to your varied audiences. When I look through your forum topics, it's so varied that you obviously satisfy a lot of audience intent.
Yeah, so we've been working on a whole bunch of stuff, basically. So firstly, one of the realizations that I think the internet's coming to is that our forums is kind of, I think, we kind of grew up with and we had a lot to deal with when we were younger. Then they're not so much a thing anymore, if you will. Just as far as the way of getting information out of them isn't very efficient. When you're looking for something and you're looking for an answer quickly, trolling through a thread with 300-400 answers on it, not necessarily ordered in any other way other than like chronology, it's not a very efficient spending of time to get an answer out of it, right? As a sort of population on the internet as a whole, we're getting more and more used to the Reddit style of content being ordered by voting and importance and that sort of stuff, which means that when you come across a question or an interesting thread, the time you spend on it to get out the good content is much shorter because the good content is right at the top, right? The idea of kind of that good content floating right to the top.
Maz, tell us a little bit more about what you've been focused on from a community perspective, and what it is that drives the stickiness of your forum, especially like you said, in these days it's a little bit almost passé, right? But I think there's a lot of nuggets in there from what I've seen so far.
Yeah, so I think a lot of what drives the stickiness of the forum is that because of this amazing community behind it. You've got this resource where you can come with a very specific, somewhat crazy question sometimes if you want, right? You can throw it at the community and very quickly get a whole bunch of really interesting perspectives around it. Kind of like if you've got a bunch of mates that enjoy doing what you're doing or what you're doing, and you're sort of sitting around with a couple of beers or something and you just have a really interesting discussion around something, right? I think that's kind of what Worry Plum provides, and that's kind of a stickiness element of it, if you will. Because when you find that and when you have that kind of aha moment of, oh, I can have really interesting discussions here, it gets kind of addictive kind of quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Go ahead, Frank.
Sorry. With all of the different, social parts, I think that has taken away. Because I started pre-web with the old bulletin boards, and it became that pattern, as you were saying, where you're engaging with people and you were willing to allow some time between responses to the conversation. We had maybe a longer attention span than nowadays with the ability to text message on your phone and to message through Facebook and all that sort of stuff. A lot of the technology has sort of taken away our patience, and it's more for the dedicated people. A friend of mine, Danny Horowitz, has Danny Web, which has over 1 million members, but it's programming. So I think the programmers themselves are, that, like you said, you set up a question and then you get X number of responses. So you can reference that and hopefully those pages get optimized and rank for, when people are doing, how do I do this? Or how, what's the best method of, digital marketing for this type of niche? Is that how you're seeing, how your traffic's coming? Do you have a lot of it coming from search, or is it more direct traffic?
Yeah, look, there's a lot of both, to be honest. So there's obviously a lot of the direct traffic from once people kind of get stuck to the forum, right, and they come back just to participate in different discussions to see what's happening, to sort of see what's being talked about day to day. And then we do also get a huge amount of traffic from, just organic people, like searching anything from sort of general SEO questions to very specific SEO questions. Through to occasionally a couple of the threads that rank quite well are very specific Google errors on, say, AdWords or something, where someone's been sort of trying to get something to work and they get this one error, and then it's the classic copy-paste the error into Google, and we're the first sitting on a bunch of them as well. So, yeah, there's a huge variety of stuff.
Are you worried about Google someday stealing that? Let's shift the conversation to SEO a little bit. I'm just curious, especially with these one box type answers and stuff, you see it happening in a lot of industries, and if they can't provide it with their webmaster tools quick answer, which usually isn't often the best, I mean sometimes it is, it's almost a precarious position to be in when you have so many answers. However, you can look at Yahoo answers and see a lot of them still alive.
Yeah, so I think there's kind of two components, right? So you've got a bunch of people that are kind of hitting the site, right? Hitting relatively, not current discussions, if you will. Some of these sort of Google questions, I guess, being in that category. So you've got these people hitting the site that are just coming down to look at an answer, find a solution, and leave, right? And sure, I think that sort of style of traffic could go down. That's probably got a relatively high bounce rate anyway. and they might not be the kinds of people so much that are going to participate in discussions. I mean, there's always that idea of get as much traffic as you can in, and then sort of just optimize the funnel all the way down. I'm not too worried about Google coming in and stealing that. Like, that's not a significant enough portion of our traffic to kind of me feel like we've got a big sort of exposure with it. And I think the ongoing value that we're providing isn't necessarily in just all these one-off little things. It's actually getting people in and having those discussions. So that's always what we're really focusing on trying to do.
Now, what are you?
And I didn't mean to. Just one more thing, Frank. I wanted to try to play a little devil's advocate there. I think it would be difficult even for Google's technology to be able to pinpoint the best answer in a thread type of a scenario. I know with Yahoo Answers and even with some of the search engine watch type results that they have and Moz and some of the others now, they splurred out five that they think are the most relevant, but you'd still have to do that research that you mentioned earlier that makes it hard sort of to use forms now compared to just a search engine that might have that quick answer box. So, I'm just curious if it being the leader of the Warrior Forum, if that had crossed your mind. It's good to hear that that you feel comfortable in that area. But Frank.
Yeah, I was just wondering, what practices are you using to help optimize, say, some of your content that you've noticed is getting a certain amount of search traffic, and then maybe you go and look and happen upon a few terms that it's ranking at say 7 or 8 or something, and you're trying to increase it higher to get a higher volume of that sort of that keyword traffic. Are you is that a practice that you're using? Do you do any internal linking to lift the ranking?
Yeah. So there's kind of two components to that. So one's what we do proactively, and one's kind of what's implicitly done by it just being posted on the forum. So we'll start with what we do proactively. So when we see a thread sort of start to take off, if you will, one of the things we've been doing quite recently actually is going through, and it's kind of a classic trick of you look in Google Webmaster Tools or what are the keywords that's hitting it. You go through, and then if there's a couple of key search terms that you're not ranking ranking as high as you'd like for, maybe in the sort of anywhere from like 2 to 6 range. If there's anywhere that like a very large amount of traffic that you think you could rank higher for, we just alter the keywords in the title and the URL to sort of adjust it to sort of optimize it specifically for that specific query. Of course, with the idea of making sure that we're not sacrificing other traffic from other queries, but that's one of the things we do proactively at the moment, which is stupidly effective in some cases. It's a really good little trick. And then as far as the linking goes, so there's a lot of linking that implicitly happens when you post a thread. So when you tag it, there's a whole bunch of tag pages that link around, as well as depending on its position in the feed, there's a whole bunch of links to top-rated threads currently in the feed. So sometimes you'll see when you Google one of the Warrior Forum threads or something, right, you'll see a whole bunch of related searches. So that classic little snippet that Google likes to throw out when you do the site, whatever it is, so say sitewarriorforum.com, with that same query, you've got a whole bunch of results for that one query. Google's inclined to show that related search snippet below, which is always a nice one to boost the CTR as well. Of the snippets. But yeah, so there's a bunch of input stuff as well as a bunch of stuff we do.
So do you do a lot of SEO research leveraging the site? I mean, I'm assuming, Moss, I'm just curious, personally, you're an SEO as well, and do you have an agency, or do I know that obviously you're very well-versed in SEO based on our discussions that we had prior to the call. What is your day-to-day sort of SEO role? And let's talk about some SEO, and then we'll take a break and continue with that discussion for the last part of the conversation.
Yeah, sure. So we don't use any external agencies as such. I always wish I had more time to spend reading up on the latest sort of happenings in SEO. I've got a pretty strong personal interest in it. I really enjoy spending time reading on it and sort of spending time trying to figure out and understand how certain changes are going to affect us, as well as the sort of motivation behind the changes. to be honest, a lot of the stuff that we think about and a lot of the stuff that we'll try as a both on Warrior Forum and our other platforms come from just these sort of discussions, right? Like it's a bunch of us from the company sitting down over a couple of beers, sort of just discussing, oh, I wonder what would happen if we do this, or have you tried doing this? So I've probably got about, 6 or 10 really close mates that are all involved in sort of SEO in one way or another on different platforms. So when
you're saying it's important, just to clarify, I'm sorry to cut you, but it's important to have a couple of beers while you're doing this in order to help the creative flow, right? So have a great day, and thanks for joining us, and love to have you back on sometime. I look forward to participating in the Warrior Forum and getting to know the community in there. Rockstars, SEO Rockstars, appreciates it and appreciates our listeners. Thanks for being with us. Rock on.
The opinions expressed in this WMR.FM program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WMR.FM. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.